Last Sunday, I started on the topic, you were made for this. I'm just trying to encourage us that there is a reason what God created us for, right? Which goes beyond our giftings and our talents and our abilities, because we know those talents, giftings, and abilities are what God gave it to us. It's none of us, you know, who just did it. So we know that it is from God, and we know that God will definitely use it, but our purpose is not confined or limited to our abilities and our talents. So I just kind of started talking, or maybe the first part of what it is that the real purpose for which God made us, you know, and so that's how I started talking about you were made for this, right? And so let's go to the next slide. I'm just going to recap from last week and then just quickly run through. So I'll be going really fast, and those of you who are not Indians will know that Indians can talk really fast, so you'll have to like kind of keep up with it. This is a recap and of last week, and then I'll go into what I wanted to speak today. So we established the fact that we were created by God, of course, but we were created for Him. So what does that mean? What do we bring to God, or what do we have? Why did He create us for Him? And so I'm just running through this. We were created to bring Him joy and praise, and we're picking that out of the verse in Jeremiah 13:11. Says there is a comparison. God says that, you know, and I've summarized some of the verses. God says that just like a belt is around a person, that's how, you know, I've made you to be. You know, but you wouldn't listen. So the idea is that we are supposed to be close to God, to be clinging to Him. And if we can go to the next slide. Jeremiah 33:9 says, "You will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth." So that was what we looked at. That if God's intention was that we bring Him joy, we bring Him renown, which means fame, you know, and we bring Him praise, glory, honor, and all of that can be, you know, summed up as honor. And there was a purpose for that. So God's purpose in creating us was that we would bring Him joy and that we would bring Him honor or glory on earth, so that the rest of the world can see and come and taste God, you know, and come and experience the same God. Let's go over to the next verse. Next slide. So we'll just look at this. We explained this last week, so I'll just read through. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So just that God created us, but He created us for His glory, right? And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12 also says that we were created for the praise of His glory, right? So praise is more than just singing songs. Our life itself should be for the praise, or it should declare His glory or His goodness, His greatness, right? Let's go to the next slide. So created for His renown, joy, praise, and honor. And so I kind of divided it into two. Part one is that we were created to bring Him joy or pleasure or delight. Okay, that's one aspect. And the second aspect is that we bring Him honor and praise and glory. And there's a reason why I separated that. Okay, so if you go to the next slide, what we talked about last Sunday. So if we were created to bring Him joy, or, you know, bring Him delight, how do we do that? All right. And the first point we looked at was a child doesn't have to do anything to bring joy to the parent. Now the parents just look, all of you who are parents here can just look at our child and we love them. We're just happy, you know, they're so, so cute, right? And all of that. And that's exactly how God is with His children. When God looks at us, He's delighted in us. It just brings joy to His heart. And we said that we wanted to lay that foundation that there's always joy in God's heart when you come to Him. Because I don't know about you, when I first got saved, I had a picture of God in my mind. And I've shared this before. The picture I had of God was this serious old man, like with white beard and like, you know, like, and he's just like serious face. I could never picture God smiling, right? I don't know, it's based on all the wrong stuff that we read and we are told and all that. So I was like, I could picture an angry God, that the moment I sin, He's going to whack me, God, like, you know. And so it was an unhealthy fear, and it was like a distorted, you know, image of God that I had. But when I found out that I bring Him joy, I'm like, that is so cool. Like, what? You know, I could look at myself in the mirror and say, because God loves me. Come on. It's the same for you too. And so the first thing about how do we bring joy is just being you, because you exist, because you breathe. He created you. And I want you to know that. I want everybody to get that, that you are his joy. You are the apple of his eye. And the Bible is full of verses to back that up. The second thing I wanted to say how you bring him joy was that, oh, actually, before I go to the second thing, if you can go back to that. I brought an example from Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, where when Jesus was taking baptism, after he went into the water and came up, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son, I am well pleased in him." Right? And it actually happened before Jesus started his ministry, before he did any miracles, before he did any good deeds, before he ever preached a sermon, before anything, God actually told him, "I'm very pleased with you." Because in our world, we have things the other way around, right? When people do good, they've done well, then we say, "Oh, good job, son. I'm so proud of you." Right? And that's all right too. There's a place. But God actually was showing his character here. He said, before you do anything, it's not what you do, it's who you are that I'm proud of, that I'm pleased with. So that's just to say that God is happy with us before we start doing all. But we also know that once we come to God, we bring him joy. We, you know, like, and we talked about that last week. So let's just go to the next slide. So other than just being you, there's some other things that bring God joy. And we looked at faith. Bible says very clearly in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible, is the word that's used. Impossible to please God. And there was an example Enoch in verse 5 before that, and it says that Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. So we know if Enoch walked with God and pleased God, that means he must have walked by faith, right? And so he had the faith, because without faith, so we need to have faith. And faith is not just I believe in God kind of faith. It's not just a mental assent. It's actually because of our faith in him, trusting him with our daily lives, trusting him in real life matters. That's how faith is translated. And so I had that verse from Psalm 147, 10 and 11. It says, his is referring to God. It says, God's pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight is in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Think about that. The Lord delights in those who fear him and who put their hope in his unfailing love. So no matter what corner of the pit we are, in our own minds, we sang a lot of songs that are amazing today. Like even our own minds say that we are not good enough. We know that God is enough because he loves us unconditionally, right? But if we want to know that what delights God, this is what, when we put our hope in his unfailing love, unconditional love, that just brings joy to God's heart. How easy it is to please God. You realize that we don't have to climb the Himalayas, or we don't have to go down to the depths of a sea, or give, you know, $1 million to make God happy. This is it. Putting our hope in his unfailing love. Trusting in him. Having confidence in him. All right. So faith is the second thing that we can do to bring God joy. Let's go. This is another verse that we said. We'll skip this for time's sake. Third thing is, God delights in showing mercy, and therefore he delights in people who show mercy. He just loves mercy. Period. God loves mercy. Because he loves mercy, he delights in showing mercy to people, but he also loves people who show mercy. He loves mercy so much that when we show mercy to each other, that just pleases his heart. Right? And so there were some references there where God says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Think about it. God is saying, "I don't want your sacrifice." Those days, you know, they used to bring these sacrifices to God. God is saying, "I don't want your money. I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want all those things. What I really want is for you to be merciful to your brother, to people who don't deserve it, maybe." Because that's how he is with us, right? And then Micah 7:18, it's worth reading. It says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." That's one of God's characters. So, let's go to the next slide. Obedience, right? And there's a reference there for Samuel 15:22. We talked about the context last Sunday. But basically God is saying, listen, obedient to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed or to listen to what he's saying is better than the fat of rams. So basically God was saying, even though in the Bible those days the sacrifices were mentioned and God says, bring your sacrifice and come, all of that. But more than all of that, better than that is for you to obey. Right? So how do we obey God? How do we know what to do? It's all in the word. When we obey his word, we are obeying God. Right? And it's not a set of do's and don'ts. The Bible says that his commandments are not burdensome. It's not heavy. It's not hard for us to do. He gives us these instructions and then he enables us to do it. That's how cool God is. He gives us the instructions. He tells us what to do and then he gives us the power to do it. We just have to have a willing heart. So obedience, it's always a choice. See, this is what I want to say. Obedience is always a choice. And then God honors it, of course. All right, let's go to the next slide. And then the final, most important, it's not final by, you know, order in any way, but the main thing, what brings joy to God's heart, apart from you being you, you know, you and faith and mercy and obedience, is salvation of people. And you know, if I can really simplify it, what does that mean? What does salvation mean? When people turn from their own ways and turn to Jesus, turn to God for help and start a relationship with him. And so if you read Luke 15, that entire chapter talks many times, Jesus is giving parables and examples of what causes celebration in heaven. And if you read, he gives all these parables, lost sheep, lost coin and lost son and all of that, you know. And every time he ends the parable by saying, if a person who lost that coin finds back a coin, they get so excited. Then he says, it's the same thing in heaven. When one lost person turns to God, there's just a party in heaven. And it gives a comparison of a farmer, you know, of a shepherd rather, you know, who had 99 sheep. And then the one sheep was lost. And then the Bible says he leaves the 99 aside and goes looking. He doesn't say, well, I have 99. I'm happy. Who cares about that one? So he goes after the one. And then when he finds, it says, oh, he gets so excited. He celebrates. And he says, it's exactly like that in heaven. If there's all these good Christians, they bring joy to his heart. Yes. But there's that person who's far away from God, that person who's like the lost sheep. But God comes looking for them because the Bible says Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He comes after them. He comes looking for them. And when he finds them, or in other words, when they turn to God and say yes to God, when they start a relationship with God, it says it's like that shepherd who found the lost sheep. And so in heaven, there's great rejoicing because one person turned to God. And so the whole point was when we turn to God, we bring him great joy. There's party in heaven. But also remember, this is the key thing. That is the reason why we go and tell people about Jesus. That is the reason why Christians evangelize. That is the reason why we go and tell people Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Because we know that in God's heart, there is an empty space that until that one person also comes in, his heart is longing for them. There is a U-shaped vacuum in God's heart. That until you come, regardless of no matter how many wonderful people are there, until you come to God's heart, he's never really fully satisfied. But when you do, every person, when they turn to God, there is the joy in his heart and there's celebration in heaven. And that's where we had stopped, I think, last week. Let's go over to the next slide. That's it, the recap. What brings God joy? You, faith and trust in him, mercy, obedience, and salvation of people. All right? Let's quickly look at the next thing. So remember we said there were two things that we were created for. One was to bring him joy. And then the other thing was to bring him honor. Right? All of that. Honor, praise, glory, renown. You can. So honor actually originates in our hearts. Because we can give honor outwardly. That's why I want to clarify this. Honor starts from the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Can you tap someone and say it's a matter of the heart? Because, you know, we've all been in school and we know how it is. Some teacher that we don't like or the principal that was too hard on us. And, you know, we have no choice. We have to show them respect and honor. But some of them we haven't honored in our hearts. But we have to do. So, but real honor is when it starts from the heart and it translates into our actions. That's when real. And so God says, that's the kind of honor that we are to give him, or that brings him honor, that, you know. So honor, when does honor happen? When we give our time and our talent and our treasure, you know, instead of money. I just wanted three T's. So it's our time, our talent, and our treasure. Whatever you spend most of your time, your talent, and your treasure on is actually what you worship. Ooh. Tap someone and say, that's serious. Right? Okay. So, and I'm saying this because in Isaiah, I've given the reference there to 29:13. There is a reference to God telling his people, oh, you only worship me with your lips. You flatter me with your lips, but your hearts are far away from me. So God wants honor from our heart. Okay, let's look to the next slide. I'm just going to run through this and maybe we'll study this later, but for the sake of time today, I just want to mention it and then we will look at it in detail later. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, honor God with your body, because God bought us at a price. The price was his blood. The price was the blood of Jesus. We were purchased by God. And so honor God with your body. And I know when we talk about that, a lot of the times people just delegate that to, oh, that means sexual, you know, morality or purity. That is very much so too. But all of the other things, how we take care of our body, our health, what we allow going in, into our body. I remember a friend of mine, you know, was being teased by his other friends saying, oh, you know, you're not in church now. Why don't you smoke with us, or why don't you drink with us? And he said, you're not in church now. And he said, hey, you don't understand. My body is the temple. If I can't do it in the temple or in the church, then I can't do it anywhere, because this year. That's what the Bible says. Right? So he says, it says, honor God with your body. When we take stands, even bringing yourself to church this morning, you know you honored God with your body, because you made your physical body get out of bed, resist the temptation to switch the TV or Netflix or whatever it is, and you came. You had a desire, but you followed suit with your body, right? So we can honor God with our body. Honor God with your wealth. And there's throughout the Bible, you'll find scriptures that talk about honoring God with the first fruits, giving God, you know. And you know why it is? It's not because God needs our money. God doesn't need our money. How many of us know that? Right. But the Bible says God gives us the ability to produce wealth. The job that you have, God is the one who gave it to you. The strength that you have to work, God gave that strength to you. The education, God gave you the opportunity. So everything that we have comes from God. Therefore, when we give God and honor God with our wealth and do the right things with our wealth and give priority to God with our wealth, that means we are honoring God. We are recognizing you are the source. You are the one. I wouldn't be here without you. Right? Because a lot of the time we pray for blessings, and then until we get the blessing, we're like praying. And then once we get the blessing, that very blessing keeps us out of God. And out of church and out of God's will. So watch out, but honor God with your wealth. And then can we go to the last one? Last slide. So a fruitful life brings glory to God. Isn't that amazing? If we sit at home and watch TV all day and do nothing, If you, even if you're retired, and even before you start going to work, if you're a little kid, we can be fruitful in whatever season we are. We can be fruitful wherever God has called us to. And you know why? See, there's a scripture that says, John 15:8 says, "It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." Imagine that. Jesus was speaking this. So when we bear fruit, God gets glory. And what does bearing fruit mean? You know, obviously it's not apples and oranges or kiwi or banana or mangoes, whatever it is that you like. It's being productive with our lives in the place where God has planted us. I'm not going to go there. I was going to say, if I make a lot of money doing an unrighteous thing, that's not being fruitful. Because that's not where God plants us. So in the context here, Jesus was talking about that we are planted in God and He's the vine and we are the branches, and out of the branch, out of God, flows these things through us. See, God wants to do things through us. That's the amazing thing about God. So whatever we have, however we are, wherever we can, in whatever way we can, we bear fruit. We become fruitful by staying connected to God. That's the whole thing. Stay connected to God and fruit will be automatic. See, the branch has to just stay in the trunk, connected to the tree. Doesn't have to do anything to bear fruit, but stay connected. So the whole point is, if we stay connected to God, then we will be fruitful. And when we are fruitful, it brings glory to God. And so I just want to close with that. Colossians 1:10 says that we are to please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That's how we please God. So there we sum up what I've been trying to say. Back to the very first verse that we started off with, that we are to bring Him joy, we are to bring Him praise, glory, honor, and renown. And it is by doing these things. And if you notice, all of those things is not a checklist to do. It's about our relationship with Him. If we maintain our relationship with God, He is faithful and He will help us to do these things. Amen? All right, let me just close in prayer and then we will have... Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, that You are a good, good Father to us. We want to thank You that You created us for Your pleasure, for Your joy, that we don't have to do anything specific to bring You joy, that in ourselves, Lord, You are delighted in us. But also, Lord, we thank You for revealing to us that You love mercy and You love obedience and You love faith. So help us to do these, O God, that we may bring greater joy to You. And help us to honor You with our bodies, O God. Help us, O God, to continue to be connected to You, to stay connected to You on a daily basis, every day, so that we can bear fruit. And so, Lord, I just thank You for the people here today. I pray that Your word will take root in their hearts, O God. I pray, Lord, that You would receive glory and honor and praise through our lives. We give ourselves to You today, that You may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.